got a big task tonight. It's 8 o'clock and we're just about to start. So fasten your seatbelts as we journey through session two of Dependent Woman, a study of our heroine of the faith, Deborah. Tonight's title session for number two is What is in a Name? What's in a Name? So good evening and welcome back to Women to Women. Last week we heard that we have a desire within our hearts to be like a modern day heroine of the faith, a dependent woman. That we want to display those qualities that we see in the heroes that we've been studying, of strength, of courage, of obedience and patience. And we've studied many characters this year and we've been inspired by those that surround us, cheering us on to keep the faith. In particular, cheering us on to keep on running our race. However, the heroes of the faith don't perhaps stand out in the way that you would first expect. Not always were they strong, not always were they brave, not always did they get it right. In fact, sometimes they messed up and they made mistakes. However, in every single one of the lives in which we've studied so far this year, and I go to say actually throughout the 17 years in which we've been going as a ministry, in each and every one of these stories, we have seen the faithful hand of God. So even though we are up and down at times, even though our moods change, even though at times we're led by our emotions, God is the same. Faithful God. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I don't know about you ladies, but that actually encourages me. It encourages me because I'm not perfect. And please don't take offense, but I don't think you're perfect either. You're perfectly loved. I love you, but you're perfectly loved by God. So it's about keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. It's about getting up when we fall down and not staying down. It's about keeping the faith. It's about running with patience and endurance and all of that that we've studied so far. We've discovered that as ordinary women looking to be faith-filled women, that we can do extraordinary things in His name. Amen. We just need to place our hope and our trust in Him, that we are dependent women. We depend on Him for our life. We're not independent women. We don't want to live independent of Him. We've tried it that way. It didn't work. We want to live for Him. We want to depend on Him. We want to rely on His strength. We want to rely on His confidence. We are dependent women of God. Now, I'm sure if I asked you to tell me about strong and courageous dependent women that you know, I'm sure that you would shout out a list of names. People that have prayed for you. Women that have inspired you. Spirit-filled women that have encouraged you in the faith. I mean, with a show of hands, how many of you are here this evening walking with Jesus because at some point in your life, an inspirational woman of God prayed for you, spoke to you about Jesus, or shared the gospel? Wow! Look at that. And I praise God and I thank God for the people that I've had in my life. Inspirational women of God that have introduced Jesus to me. I stand here today loving Jesus and being loved by Jesus because of my mother. Women that have shown great courage. Women that have relied on God's strength. Women, dependent women of God, that stood strong in the face of adversity. And perhaps you can testify tonight of being loved and helped along and encouraged by women just like that. Your grandmother, your mother, a godly leader, your Sunday school teacher, maybe a youth leader or someone within your school. Remember the days where you were allowed to pray in school? I had a teacher, I've shared this story once before, I had a teacher, primary seven, I just moved to that school for primary seven, and she was an old school style teacher, praise God for her, and she started each and every morning with the Lord's Prayer. Lord, we need it, we need to bring that back. So, your mothers, your grandmothers, your sisters, look at this, we have a family here, we've got sisters. We've got a daughter and a niece. Isn't that inspirational? We've got other mothers and daughters in the house. But sometimes at Women to Women, we have three or four generations. It's incredible. Women handing over the baton to other women. We want to be women like that. And there's this most beautiful verse in 2 Timothy, which I love. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Grace Hill, I know that you know this. This speaks about young Timothy's faith in Christ. Young Timothy was the Apostle Paul's prodigy, if you like. He kind of took him under his wing. Timothy's whole ministry was prophesied over him, but he was a real strong, godly man, Timothy. And he came under the shepherding of the Apostle Paul. And there's this lovely verse in 2 Timothy, words from Paul about Timothy to Timothy. And it says this, I remember your genuine faith. For you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that the same faith continues strong in you. Amen. Don't you love that verse? That verse really encourages me. This young man, and he was a great man of God, this young man was inspired and he was taught the gospel message by his loving mother and his grandmother. Dependent women of God that were not afraid, that were not ashamed to share their faith with young Timmy. Isn't that lovely? And he went on to be a great man of God. Ladies, not only do we need to surround ourselves with women like that, the Loises and the Eunices, but we need to be the Loises and we need to be the Eunices, modern day heroines of the faith. We need to be women that will be prepared to inspire the next generation. In this series, we're looking at becoming women of influence, and we want to be women like that. Just in the next room there, we have Carmen and Erin and Michelle being women of influence to a younger generation. And that is why we have Little Women to Women, because we want to inspire teenage girls to develop and nurture a closer relationship with God. That was brilliant having that banner there. We need to be those women. And tonight we're going to begin a brand new series looking at another heroine of the faith. We've already looked at some crackers this year. We've looked at some greats this year. We've looked at some great men of God. But we've also looked, actually, at some brilliant heroines of the faith. We've looked at Esther, Rahab, Mary, Abigail. And now we're about to look at the prophetess and judge, one of my favourites, Deborah. And in this second session, I want to introduce you, if you don't already know about her, to this inspiring woman of Scripture. I believe that Deborah was a dependent woman of God. And we're going to look at her life. We're going to look at her ministry. We're going to look at the anointing. We're going to look at her calling. And we're going to look at her life. And we're going to ask the question, how can I be a woman of influence today? So her name was Deborah. And you find Deborah's story contained in chapters 4 and chapters 5 of the book of Judges in the Old Testament. I encourage you to read it in your own time. So let's start reading from Judges 4:4 in the Old Testament. What does it say about Deborah? It says that Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. Prophet, a wife, leading Israel. Man, that's a big job. So what else do we know? Well, the first thing I want us to look at is her name. So to quote William Shakespeare from Romeo and Juliet, for any English teachers in the house, what's in a name? Think about your own name for a moment. Do you know what your name means? Do you know why you were called that name? Why your parents named you that particular name, and maybe your middle name also? Perhaps you were named after someone else in the family, perhaps. Maybe you're here and you're thinking now about the names, not that we're getting the names given to you, but the names in which you gave to your child, your children. If you have children here this evening, why did you call them those names. I've given birth to 4 children, and all 4 children have Hebrew names. And all 4 children's names have biblical meaning. And each name that I've named my children have specific biblical meaning that also means something very special to me, as it did at that time. And I believe their names are very prophetic over their lives. Names in the Bible have great significance. Have you wondered that before? Because they do have. They have great significance. And there is a few reasons why names in the Bible are so important. There's a couple of reasons I'm going to share with you just now. Biblical names could, in the Bible, at times record some aspects of the parents' reaction to the birth of the child. We see that in the story of the children of Rachel and Leah. You can go and read that in your own time, how they were feeling at that particular time. Some sad names in those stories, actually. A biblical name could record some aspect of a person's birth or the location of their birth. So, for instance, Mary Magdalene is basically Mary from Magdala, little seaport. Biblical names could be used to communicate God's message. Biblical names were sometimes used to secure solidarity between family ties. Biblical names were given to indicate a new beginning or a new direction for someone's life. In particular, when God the Father changed names. And we see that in Scripture, don't we, how names were changed for specific reasons. If we go back to our first hero of the year, Abraham, when we started to study Abraham, we discovered he wasn't Abraham at that time. He was Abraham. And his wife was not Sarah at that time. She was Sarai. But we studied their story and we heard that God made a covenant with them, an agreement with them, that they would be the father and mother of a mighty nation. And at that point, he gave them the new names. Abraham and Sarah, names that actually represented God's promise. And I remember sharing with you at the time when someone called Sarah by name, after that point, they were basically declaring the promise over her life. You will be a mother. How amazing is that for the barren woman? That she was now being named a name that spoke of her future. The name that God gives you. Peter, the New Testament, when he's a fisherman and God calls him through Jesus to be a fisher of men. His name's Simon, and God gives him the name Peter, which means the rock in which I will build my church. And Peter went on to be instrumental in starting the early church. Names in the Bible are very significant. So what does Deborah's name mean? Well, I know this one really well, funnily enough, because my name is Debbie. But I know that many of you know this also. So come on, bring on the honeybees. So Deborah's name is Hebrew, and the Hebrew name for honeybee. Isn't that lovely? I know what you're thinking. We've always thought you were a honeybee, Debbie. Now, our leading lady here, we learn a lot about this woman of God in particular through the characteristics of the honey bee. Ever been stung by a bee? We always forgive the bee when it stings us, though, don't we? We think, poor wee soul. Poor wee soul. So the honey bees, what do we know about the honey bee and the characteristics of a modern-day heroine of the faith? Well, let's look at the honeybee just for a moment. Now, I'm no David Attenborough, okay? I've just done a wee tiny bit of research, okay? But let's look at the honeybees. The honeybees understand their function. They know why they're here, and they know what they need to do. They understand their function. That could also be said to be their purpose. The honeybee understands its purpose. The honeybees are focused on their leader. No, not Beyonce, but the queen bee, the real queen bee. Honeybees, only the young girls are going to get that one. Honeybees serve their colonies. They are productive and hard-working wee insects, and they produce the sweetest of results. They, of course, produce honey. Of course they do. So I want us to consider tonight the honeybee. And I want to consider that a woman of God is a woman like Deborah, a honeybee. So how does that work? Well, let me share it with you. A woman of God, a heroine of the faith, well, she too knows her function. She too knows her purpose. What God has called you for. And not only does she know it, but she's hard working and putting her feet to work and stepping into the Master's plan for her life. A modern day Deborah, a heroine of the faith, a dependent woman, well, she too is also focused on her leader. And I don't mean the Queen Bee. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. She is equipped and she is prepared not to serve a colony, but she is equipped to serve God's people and to build his kingdom. And she serves her kingdom using the sweetest of gifts that God has given her to bear much fruit. So as we consider Deborah's anointing throughout this series, we will look at the qualities and the functions of this particular leader. And as we do, we are going to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us. In fact, we're asking you right now, Holy Spirit, to reveal to us the areas of our own lives where we too can step into our plan and our purpose that you have ordained for us. That we too can serve with honeybee-like qualities. So I wonder, having heard all about the honeybee this evening, do you want to be a honeybee? Do you want to serve God's kingdom as a modern-day Deborah? The honeybee is a magnificent species, and you too are fearfully and wonderfully made. So we're starting to get a picture, starting to put together a picture of the qualities of a dependent woman. Isn't that clever? That we can see the qualities of a dependent woman through a tiny little honeybee. Because we want to be, we want to be a honeybee as opposed to a wasp. No. Unlike the honeybees, I believe the wasps just kill for fun. They just do it for fun, for sport. And I'm sure if we're honest, we can all testify to times when we ourselves, you don't need to put your hand up, have been more like a wasp than a honeybee. Yes, we've maybe treated others a wee bit waspy-like. That we have maybe spoken words over another person that maybe have stung them. Again, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand in the air. But put your hand in the air if you've been stung by a few wasps. Where you've taken a few hits. When others have spoken some unkind words that are not like honey. And they have hurt. They have stung right here in the heart. And we can testify, can't we, to how that feels. The inconsiderate, selfish little wasps. The world around us would have us believe that we can be selfish. Do what you like. It's all about me. It's all about you. You don't need to be ashamed of it. You don't need to apologize for it. Do what makes you feel good. Do what makes you feel good. That's another one of those inspirational quotes that I detest. Last week, I was singing all about Frank Sinatra, doing it your own way. I'll do it my way. When we discovered last week that as dependent women, our aim is not to do it our own way. Our aim in life is to do it Yahweh. To do it God's way for our lives. So we don't do what makes us feel good. We do what brings glory to our leader. It's God's plan. It's God's plan. So that's another lie of the enemy. As daughters of light, we don't do what makes us feel good. We look to God to guide us in good works. And the fruits of the Spirit are the good works that are produced in us. Galatians 5, you can go and read this in your own time, talks about a Spirit-filled person. We are talking about Spirit-filled women. Spirit-filled women, dependent women of God, when they're walking with Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the fruit should be evident in their life. And let me tell you something about that fruit that is pouring out of you. Other people should be able to taste and see that it's good. So what is the fruit of the Spirit? Let me read them to you. Love, joy, peace, Shona knows a song. Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That is the fruit. The honeybees produce honey, but in us, the fruit that we produce are the fruits of the Spirit. And we need to be asking ourselves, are they evident in my life as a dependent woman of God? Are the fruits of the Spirit evident in my life? When people in my workplace, when people in the school, when people at the gym, when they see me, do they see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control? Look at the list in your Bible. The next time you look at it, ask the question, am I showing patience? Or maybe I need to work on that one. I may be good at the gentleness, not so good at the joy. Maybe good at the faithfulness, need to work on the self-control. Are these fruits on display in my life? So we're looking at this woman, Deborah, and already just in her name, we've been able to learn more about the kind of woman that God has created us to be. Not the wasp, but the honeybee. Now, I said that the honeybees produce the sweetest of results. You told me that it's honey. So let's just ponder honey tonight for a moment or two. You will never look at honey on the shop shelves again the same. After tonight, you will never look at a little bee in the garden and run away from it. You will look at it lovingly from now on and you will say, that's me. That's me. And when you pick up your jar of honey, and if you've got a few pennies in your back pocket, you might buy the Manuka stuff. You will never look at it the same again. Why? Well, it tells us in Scripture. The psalmist writes in Psalm 119, verse 103, that God's words are sweeter than honey. Honey is a sweetener, but God's words are sweeter than honey. Honey is also historically used in medicine. Many people still swear by it in medicine today. It says in Proverbs, though, that pleasant words are as honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. God's word is greater than honey. His words are sweeter and it has the power to heal our bones. Amen. Honey is also historically linked to prosperity and wisdom. The land of milk and honey. Proverbs says, eat honey because it's good, and the honeycomb that is sweet to your taste, so shall be the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. When you've found it, then you will be a reward and your expectations will not be cut off. As I've said, you'll never look at honey again the same. The next time you look at honey, you will remember that God's word is sweeter than honey, that it brings wisdom and that it brings healing. So if you want to be a modern day Deborah, then God is saying that you too have the ability to produce the sweetest of honey, the sweetest of results. We too can speak words, God's words that we've just read about there. You have the power and the potential to speak words that will bring life and healing. You do. You have those words inside of you. So the next time you can come around a sister and you can lay hands on her and you can declare, in the name of Jesus, you will be blessed. In the name of Jesus, you will be whole. In the name of Jesus, you will experience good health, body, soul, and mind. We have the power, each and every one of us, inside of us, to speak words that bring life, that speak words that bring healing, that speak words that bring joy. So the next time you're getting around a sister, instead of saying, oh, I don't know if I have the power. Yes, you do. In the name of Jesus, you have the ability to speak words like honey. Because that's what honeybees do. Honeybees speak words of life. So let's encourage one another. Let's pray life-giving words. Let's speak life-affirming words over those that God brings into our lives. Let's be honeybees and not wasps. 8:27. Deborah features in Judges 4, Judges 5 of the Old Testament. It's thought that she served somewhere between 1107 and 1167 BC, according to Jewish tradition. She also lived during the time of the Judges. Now, the book of Judges chronicles the time between the death of Joshua right up until the time of the first king, who is King Saul. Now, this is really important, right? You need to know the kind of leader Joshua was, and Grace spoke about Joshua and the heroes, to know that under his reign, there was great success. He was a fantastic leader, and he led the people well. And when he was in leadership, there was peace in the land, amen. But after he died, there was a whole generation. There was a whole generation that turned their back on Jesus, on God. Whole generation that were lost, that didn't follow in the godly steps of Joshua and his men. Right up until the time where the people cried out for a king and Saul was appointed. And that period there in the middle chronicles the time of the judges. Why am I telling you this? Well, this is a time in which Deborah was called to lead. But it was also known, and it's commonly known, as a dark time. It was a dark time. It was a time of corruption. It was a time of depravity. It was a time of greed. It was a troubled time. Why was it a troubled time? Well, one reason for it is because there wasn't a king. One reason for it is because there wasn't a leader. There was no leadership, which meant that people were doing whatever they wanted to whoever they wanted, whenever they wanted. And there was no one there to shepherd them. So Judges 21:25 tells us that. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. So basically, everyone was doing what they wanted without a care for anyone else. It was a dark time. A time of corruption, a time of greed. A time where people would cry out to God, God save us. But then they would turn their back on God and refuse to stop worshipping idols. And I wonder, ladies, does it remind us of another time? Yeah, a time much like we're living in right now, where people are turning their back on God, where people are turning to false gods. They're crying out for help, but they're unwilling to lay down their life. You only need to turn on the news to see the hurt and pain in our world today. And it was during this time of lawlessness, and it was during this time of idolatry, that God called a woman. He called a woman called Deborah, and she lived in a place, location, she lived in a place between Ramah and Bethel. This is really interesting. This is what gets my fire going and makes my hair stand on end, because Ramah means idolatry, and Bethel means house of God. And here we've got Deborah in the middle between idolatry and the house of God. And maybe that's exactly where you find yourself, because you're in the middle between your unsaved loved ones and God. You're in the middle between your unsaved work colleagues and God. And you, like Deborah, have been called for such a time as this, to be the link between God and those people that you are praying for. And at this particular time, God chose a woman named Deborah, a honeybee, to serve God's people. People that were living in a dark time, they were suffering because of their sin. They lived away from God. Trade and commerce collapsed. Danger was all around, and the people were in desperate need. Let me tell you something. Nothing much has changed. There is a world out there in desperate, desperate need. There's no king. There's no leader. We look at the news. We look at politics. We think, can we believe in that? Can we trust in that? And we feel disappointed, but we do have a leader. His name is Jesus. So there's no leader. So what God does is he appoints judges. Book of Judges. You can go and read about all the judges. He appoints judges and he appoints prophets. And here we have it. In this dark time, God chose an incredible woman named Deborah. She wasn't just a judge. She was a prophet. She wasn't just a prophet. She was a mother in Israel. And she was also a wife. And we read in Judges 5, 6 and 7. I hope we've got 6 and 7. I know that you might have 6, but I hope you've got 7 on the screen. If not, I'm going to read it to you. It says, In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, we'll hear all about her, the highways were deserted and the travelers took to the byways. That's how scary it was. Verse 7, villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. So we find out a wee bit more here about just how bad it is, about just how difficult it is. The people are afraid to go out. It's unsafe. And nothing about any of that was going to change. It would have remained the same until Deborah arose. Until Deborah took responsibility. I wonder if you looked around at a situation, at a problem, at a concern that you've been watching the news and your heart is filled with righteous anger and you're like, God, something has to be done. These people that are coming in wee boats, God, have mercy on them. When you watch the TV and you hear about women being trafficked, or you hear about injustice, or you see the homeless or the addict sitting on the streets and you're thinking, God, can you not do something about this? Can you not send somebody? Or you see something in the church, a ministry gap, and you're praying, oh Lord, can we get a youth worker? Oh Lord, can we get a women's ministry leader? And you're just praying and your heart's breaking. You're saying, God, can you just bring somebody in? God, can you just intervene? Can you just do something? And God is saying, what if it's you? It's you that I'm saying, arise, daughter. Maybe that situation in your family, maybe that situation in your office space, nothing's going to change until you take a stand. Until you get off your bahookie and do something. Is that a bad word? Praise God. Nothing was changing here until Deborah arose. Until Deborah said, you know what? Yes, God. Yes, God, I'll do it. I'll stand up. Nothing's going to change in your family until you take responsibility. And just as God called Deborah, he's calling you. He's calling you for such a time as this. He's calling you for this dark world in which we live in today. And he's saying, daughter, arise. He's saying, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you may go and that you may bear fruit, beautiful fruit, that others are going to taste and see and it's good. You're going to bear fruit. And that fruit, it's not going to be for a moment. It's going to be for a lifetime. It's fruit that's going to last, that the fruits of the Spirit are going to pour out of you. So Deborah was called by God. Quite often that desire, that passion, that role that you're supposed to be in, it's born out of a stirring. It's a stirring that starts in your heart. I spoke about passion a few weeks ago. It's a passion that God has given you. For me. 18 years ago, it's when I looked out at women that were broken and women that were hurting, women that were lost and women that were hungry, women that needed a space to cry and women that needed someone just to put their arm around them and love them, women that were just hungry for the gospel. And I wanted so desperately, I would read something in the Bible and I'd be like, man, I need to tell somebody about this. And God would do something in my life. He would heal me and He'd transform me and He delivered me. And I'd be like, man, I've got to tell somebody about this. And that was the passion. That was the stirring that I had in my heart. That was the area where I was like, God, we need somebody that's going to bring women together so that they can come around in a circle around the Word of God and they can sing praises and they can pray for each other and they can learn the gospel. And God's like, guess what, Debbie? It's you. And I did the whole Moses thing. Oh no, God, why me? Call some deals. I've got a past. I'm inadequate. I'm only 5 foot. I don't know enough scriptures. Just like Moses did. God comes to him in the burning bush of all places and he says, go and set my people free. And he's like, who am I? Send somebody else. The Lord is calling you. Let's not let inadequacy and fear hold us back. Maybe you're here and you have been battling with low self-esteem. Perhaps you are struggling with your inadequacies. Maybe you do feel that when you're hearing me say tonight that God said, arise, daughter, that you're thinking, oh, no, not me, God. Can I encourage you tonight that who God calls, He will equip. It's your time to fulfill the purpose that God has for you, to be that woman of influence. So Deborah was a wife, she was a mother in Israel, she was a prophet and she was a judge. She wasn't a young woman, she was a middle-aged woman. God calls you no matter what your age, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're in between. Doesn't matter what your age is, just look at Samuel. Samuel was a wee boy. He called to him in the night. His call is progressive in that it matures us and it prepares us along the way, and He will use every piece of everything that you have ever been through, even the bad stuff. Because what was meant for harm, He can turn around for good. Let me tell you something. I testify to that. The things that were meant to cause me harm have come back time and time again and in a good way because God has used it for good. And He's used it to help and heal someone else. Many of you will have gone through things already in your life, like Deborah, life experiences, situations, where you can testify to God's goodness, where you can testify tonight here that God is faithful, and He wants you to use those experiences for His glory. So let's recap. Gabriella, you can make your way back. God called Deborah. He called her by name, Deborah, the honeybee. He chose her for a very special function, a very special purpose, just as her name suggests. She would become an incredible queen bee. She would become an incredible leader of her time. She would work to serve her kingdom, and she worked hard. She would inspire and she would lead others. Her words would be significant and they would make an impact. We're going to learn all about all of this. And that's why I believe she is a heroine of the faith. That's why we are looking at her in this series as a heroine of the faith. But ladies, it's not just Deborah that had that anointing. No, let me tell you something. The same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the grave is in you. And if you have given your life to Jesus, which I'm looking out and I know you all have, then that spirit is in you and therefore that anointing is on you. It starts with surrender, when we offer ourselves completely to God. So what's in a name? Well, maybe you don't like your name. Maybe you don't like the people that called you your name right now. It doesn't matter, because God calls you by name. Isaiah 43 was our motto text for last year. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Jean, I believe God needs you to hear that tonight, that He has called you by name. You're His, and it's personal. It's a personal, up close and relationship with Jesus. You are His. You are special. That goes for all of you, but I believe in particular he wanted you to hear that tonight. But before we finish, I want you to think about your name. I want to think about the names that you answer to. You see, some of us are answering to the wrong names. Some of us are answering to the names that other people have called us that don't belong in us. Some of us are answering to the names of our past. Some of us are answering to those waspy names that other people have spoken over us. Some of us are answering to the names that don't belong to you anymore, like damaged, broken, shy, unloved, divorcee, adulterer, addict, dirty, unlovable. Dear sister, that is not who you are. That's not your name. You are a beautiful, beautiful, cherished child of God. You are a daughter of the Most High King. That's your name. That's who you are. So, Father, we thank you that you have called us by name and that we are yours. That it is personal. It's a personal relationship. That you want to be intimate with us. That we belong to you. We therefore do not belong to this world. We are who you say we are. And that is the truth. So help us in the days and the weeks that lie ahead to answer to that name. But not only to answer to it, but to live out our life, our purpose as that child of God. As that daughter of the Most High King. So in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, would you help us by your Spirit to be that woman of influence, to be that woman that has those beautiful honeybee-like qualities, Lord God, that we would be women who would serve one another, who would speak words of encouragement, who would speak words that edify and uplift, that we would be women of influence, inspiring the next generation. So we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Father God, for this weekend. We thank you for what you're going to do tomorrow and the women tomorrow. And we thank you for all the 200 and so many ladies that are going to come on Saturday, and may they leave knowing on Saturday that you have called each and every one of them by name. So Lord God, we ask that you receive right now all the glory and all the honor and all the praise that is due your name. And as we leave this place tonight, may you bless us and keep us and continue to make your face to shine upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to